And the 1-1, a slider pulled through the hole into left field, a base hit. Gurriel around third, he'll come in to score. Seary to third, the throw gets away to the backstop. Seary will score. Maldonado to second. And it is 4-1 Houston. Smiley on the season, 11-4 with a 4.48 ERA is the first pitch that he throws to Jose Altuve is cranked out of the ballpark. The 2-2, swing and a miss, and it's over. Graveman with a 1-2-3 ninth inning, and the Houston Astros play a much better game than they played in game one. The Braves start slowly, commit a couple of errors. The Astros win 7-2, and the World Series is even at a win apiece. They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
A good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance with you for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Pat Forty is going to join us along with Dana Holgorsen. Otherwise, this is pretty much all Astros baseball. Although we do have some, it's getting a little testy over on Kirby. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is Astros day. 7-2, game two. Lance, and that, I think it was the fitting highlight and what Dan Shulman was saying at the end. I think it's so underrated playing defense. When Boston started making it, when the Astros started the series or were getting beat up by the Red Sox, they were playing crappy defense.
Yeah.
When the Red Sox started making errors, it just snowballed and the Astros just got on a roll. Last night, game one, the Astros didn't look all that good in the field. Last night, that play, that's just bad baseball. How you can't leave third base, although he was the cutoff man. Riley's got to be at third base. You might not score that run. That was just huge.
Just throws right to the base like that. Throws right to the base like he's supposed to, but there's nobody there, and that causes another run. And look, there's something that Joe Buck said on the broadcast that I agree with. He said, "Look, I don't want to say." He goes, "This is not meant to be get off my lawn, guy." He said, and you know, it's funny. You almost have to say that first because you know everyone's going, "Hater, get off your lawn." But the fact is, he said, you know, when you get people on base and you're moving, he goes, there was a time in baseball where a lot of managers wanted chaos on the base pass. They wanted to get on, get guys over, steal bases, you know, get things started because it does create, you know, and he said, get guys on, get them over, and get them in. But really more than that, and Smoltz played on this a little bit. He said, you know, it's that creating traffic on the base pass. It creates an extra thing for defenders to think about. And that's what happened. And Siri just brought so much energy. He didn't do anything special on the play other than just hustle, take an extra base, and then get home when the ball got past a non-third baseman at third base. So Siri definitely added some energy to the game. But to your point, yeah, it's amazing how often defensive lapses in this playoffs in particular, or at least for the Astros games, have resulted in runs. It's amazing, like almost every time. How about Jock Peterson? For whatever reason, running, like I can't remember whose hit it was. It was a Brantley where Jock Peterson's literally sprinting to like right center field, and then all of a sudden he has to put on the brakes and come back towards the baseball. Like, he misjudged a line drive, and the Astros turned it into what should have been from a single into a double just because he misjudged the angle he took.
Yeah. No, listen, it's so important. I would say this about I liked Siri that one play because, let's face it, he didn't exactly rip the ball, and then he struck out three other times. I'm more convinced now than ever that they got to have Alvarez in left and Brantley in right, and Tucker's got to play center field in Atlanta. Siri looked so overmatched at the plate. Listen, you talk about chaos. What about Tucker? Stealing second The other against Boston, he steals second. Then the next pitch, he steals third. Last night, he steals third. Yuli ends up at second. Tucker is the guy who's creating. You can't not look at that guy. He's an old school baseball player.
Right.
No gloves. Did you saw they compared his swing to Ted Williams?
Well, they
look almost identical.
Well, did you have the volume up on that?
No.
Okay, so here's the thing. They used his swing to emulate. They're doing a documentary about Ted Williams, and they asked Major League Baseball to find, you know, someone who has a swing that was similar so they could do a stand-up shot for this documentary they were doing. Obviously, you know, you can get it from the head down or whatever, to where they wanted a swing that was similar, and they came up with Kyle Tucker. This is a couple of years ago. They came up with Kyle Tucker, and they looked at that swing. And so in this is during spring training, and during spring training, instead of it saying Tucker, it said Ted or Williams as the plate in his locker year. So
yeah,
he said Ted. So yeah, that was done because they basically looked for a swing that would most closely mirror Ted Williams, and they came up with Kyle Tucker.
Teddy ball game. Yeah.
Well, so you thought Siri was overmatched. Siri has been overmatched in the playoffs since, you know, even the Red Sox game. Like, he's not hitting the ball hard. But Jake Myers wasn't overmatched, but we know he's out. McCormick has looked overmatched. Siri has looked overmatched. I do like Siri's speed. I do like the energy on the base paths. I think they may find a way to get him into games out in Atlanta, even if he doesn't play as a pinch runner. Potentially.
Yeah.
You know, you could see something like that.
Well,
but
you can't take – look, as bad as Michael Brantley had looked earlier in the playoffs, how good is he now?
Well, that's how quick it happens. You know, that's just how quick it happens. Like, Jose Altuve, 0-for-5, 3 strikeouts, no buzz. He didn't even have buzzers or planes or nothing. And then all of a sudden, this is the worst he's looked since he was a rookie. And now he just smashes a leadoff double, hits a home run. Like, just from one game to the next, that's how quick it can change.
It
changes instantaneously.
Right, absolutely. And now, you know, and he said after the game, that was a must-win game. Altuve said, this was must-win.
It's always best to say it after the game.
Yeah, right.
Like, after a win.
Don't go in. No, you can't say that after game one. Well, this is a must-win game. No. You say it after. Afterwards, you go, yeah, that was a must-win game for us. They couldn't go back to Atlanta. No chance, no way. They couldn't go back to Atlanta.
Well, you did it against Washington. You could. You said it yesterday. You could have. You don't want to.
You can't do that.
You don't want to, but you could have. But Urquidy,
you just got to grab one in Atlanta to make sure that you get back here. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't grab two in Atlanta. Although Atlanta's 5-0 at home this year.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with Alvarez and Brantley on the corners and Tucker in center. This is the fifth biggest outfield in baseball. It's the fifth biggest outfield in all of baseball. So there's a lot more to cover. Alvarez has been Brian McTaggart put out a piece on there 4 times this year. The two of them, that's been the alignment with Alvarez, Tucker, and Brantley in the outfield. And they've done it. You know, Alvarez has played a decent. Brantley's a little bit better, has been a little bit better, but their fielding percentage is like 80. They would have caught 86% or something. I don't know, whatever. The E-plus fielding, whatever it is, I have no idea. But they've done a decent job. The problem is they might not get to some balls that normally, Chaz McCormick might get to in center, or Brantley or Tucker would get to in right that Brantley won't get to. That could be a problem. But I'm gonna give that up for the offense. You can't take either. You can't take Yordan out. You can't take Brantley out. There's just no way.
No.
There's just no way.
No. But as you mentioned, I mean, the one thing that you can say about the Braves is when they hit, they spray it to all fields. I mean, they'll take outside pitches the opposite way, and you do have a large outfield, and you do have guys who are a little bit lumbering out there. I mean, I know Yordan's fast in the straight line and all that, but he is not a rangy outfielder. Michael Brantley, despite that awesome catch down the line yesterday, is not necessarily a rangy outfielder. So that's something Dusty's going to have to grapple with. Do I take one of those bats out of the lineup for defense or not? I don't think he will, but you just never know with an old school manager who might believe that, you know, McCormick's defense is important enough to have in there at least early in the game.
Well, then we're gonna have to take the keys away from Pawpaw if that's the case.
Well,
gonna have to take them away.
I can just say baseball people like offense, but like defense more than fans do. That's always been the case. Baseball people covet defense, and or at least a certain level of defense. And I wouldn't just throw that potential away for Dusty to look at this as, hey, we want to make sure that we don't give away runs unnecessarily due to defense, because we just spent the early part of this segment talking about when there's defensive mistakes, it's an avalanche that rolls downhill on teams. So I think that we have to acknowledge that too. We've been talking about it, and then we talk about two defenders who they may not, it may not be where they can't catch a ball like Kyle Schwarber, or they struggle with getting double plays turned out of their gloves or whatever the case may be, or throwing to third base, but not getting to certain balls and, taking a single and turning it into a double. I mean, that can be a concern. How about I want to get to Urquidy for a second.
Let's do it on the other side.
Okay.
All right. We'll do Urquidy on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, what a – we needed that, and boy, did he come up big. We'll talk about him and some other stuff that came out of the postgame next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, someone 378-0-3776. Let's go, Houston. This is your chance to talk about your team tying it up in the World Series last night. I want to talk right now about some basketball, all right? I know it's baseball season and all that, whatever. The kids want to play some basketball, Dad. That's what the kids want to do. And the kids want to actually enjoy basketball. And you want them to actually go outside and play. So the way that you do that is that you, especially if you've got smaller kids, and even the bigger kids, JT loved, before he can dunk on a, he can dunk now on a 10-foot goal, but before he could do that, he was all the time lowering it so that he could practice his dunk, just dunking. The kids love to dunk. If you're looking for that goal, lower the goal so the kids can actually enjoy it. That's what we got with Hoops. Hoops is the best. Keith Tate makes the best goal. It's unbelievable how good it is. So they'll love it. You'll love it. Mom will love it because it's still got the curb appeal. You'll love it because the kids are actually outside playing and exercising as opposed to sitting in the house. And you're getting the best goal you could possibly get. It's not even arguable. All you got to do is go to ProDunkHoops.com. Get it today. ProDunkHoops.com.
G'day mates, this is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats!
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I was trying to be in the zone. I was trying to compete. I was trying to get more confidence in my staff, in my off-speeds, in my fastball. I was trying to compete, trying to put hitters away, and it doesn't matter if I get walked or I receive homers. It doesn't matter. You just have to do my job.
That's Jose Urquidy last night. And, boy, Lance, he'd thrown once in 3 weeks. So for him to be coming out there and throwing the way that he did, attacking the zone, his off-speed stuff was unhittable. Seven strikeouts. They were a team that's been hitting as well as that team has been hitting. For him to have them as baffled as they were last night was unbelievable.
Yeah, and not only that, but in the first inning you could see the ump was going to call some things off the zone. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Based on what we saw, where the strike zone was on television, you could tell that. It was he got some calls outside the zone, and once that was the case, it was going to be a long day for the Braves because Urquidy was hitting his spots. He was painting around the corners and was able to hit where he needed to hit. And boy, that command and that ability to eat up the zone and challenge the zone in different areas where he was getting some favorable calls. That made it really tough, and I think the Braves recognized after the first inning, we may have to expand a little bit. And once they did that, they got in some trouble. But Urquidy just had you know, he was just, that changeup was so, so good for him. What a great, great performance. And it could have been second-guessed, obviously, if it didn't work out with Luis Garcia pitching on the road as opposed to at home where he's been so good and he struggled at home. But, you know, Urquidy needed this. He needed to get the reps in. He needed to step up. And he's got more experience than Luis Garcia, even though, well, I guess they're kind of even now, actually. You had Urquidy with his World Series, you know, with his World Series rep, and then Luis Garcia got a great game in and a clinching game and an ALCS. And now Urquidy steps up and showed us that Urquidy we saw against the Nationals in 2019. And now moving forward, you say, okay, not sure on Fromber, but may have been getting beat because of tip pitches. Garcia, we find out, but the last game we have in our docket for Garcia was a really, really good one. Urquidy was fantastic. You don't know what you're going to do with the four starter, whatever, but I think the Braves right now are sitting there saying, okay, no Charlie Morton. Freed got lit up, even though he did have seven strikeouts, but Freed, and not always lit up, but the Astros had some success against Freed. The bullpen's not that great. I think the Braves are probably pressing a little bit right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, if Garcia can throw the way he did at home the other night, he hasn't been as good on the road. You know, it's funny that Dusty would set it up like this. He could have had full rest and pitched game two, but he was dead on, man. Urquidy did the job. Urquidy needed work, a little bit extra rest for Garcia. Here's the thing about Garcia, although he may not be as good on the road, Garcia is going to be your game seven starter as opposed to Urquidy if it should go to seven games. So him pitching here in game three will set him up for game seven. You still got Fromber. Hopefully he's going to be a better Fromber in game five. And then you just got to, I don't know. I guess it's going to be Grinky Reezy. Was that what it's going to be for game four? I guess.
Odo Grinky.
It's Odo Grinky?
Or is it Grinky?
I call it Grinky Reezy. I like Grinky Reezy.
Could be because he's already made an appearance in the postseason. So, yeah, I actually think Grinky will get to start in game four.
Well, yeah, because Odo Rizzi threw so many pitches the other night.
He's already pitched. So I think Greinke will get the start. And you could always go at the standard bullpen game like we saw last year. But, no, I mean, boy, you want to talk about not believing in Zach Greinke. You say, I don't know, let's just start it right off with Brooks Raley, see what happens, or Blake Taylor, see what happens. I mean, that would show a complete lack of confidence in Greinke. I think Greinke will get the start. But as you mentioned, Garcia is going to be the key. But look how quickly narratives change in one game. That's why you just have to wait and see how things played out. Game one wasn't the Astros game. There was nothing that was going to happen that made it the Astros game. And game two wasn't going to be the Braves game. The Astros jumped on them quickly. It was the game played out very, very similarly. It's just, you know, early leads for one team and the other team just wasn't going to get it done. They weren't going to be able to touch up the pitching enough. But it was good to see Carlos Correa get a hit. People started really focusing on Correa, Altuve, and Bregman. Those three, where they were hitting-wise headed into the game yesterday. But Altuve obviously had a great game. You had Carlos Correa hit the ball hard after, you know, chasing some bad pitches in some of the at-bats. Michael Brantley has gone from not being able to handle left-handers or any pitching at one point. He was just so cold to being one of the hottest hitters on the team. And you know, Yordan keeps finding ways on base. I mean, teams are just, he's got such a good eye. Teams don't want to throw him strikes. They just don't. And then, of course, he gets hit in the elbow by a pitch, but he's fine. But it's just amazing. Even at 1-2, I always feel like Yordan's got a pretty good chance to walk because no one wants to come in with a pitch to him right now. It's just the terror on pitchers' faces as they try to throw strikes to Yordan or get him to chase, is real. Like, they just don't want to give up a hitter's pitch to him.
Well, and Jose Altuve moved into second place all time. Tyler, you got Jose Altuve talking about his playoff stats. Altuve is just, you talked about that. He looks so bad, and then he looks so unbelievably good. And now he's got 22 home runs in the postseason, which ties him for second all time with Bernie Williams. So here's Jose Altuve talking about his postseason stats.
The stats in playoff don't matter as long as you're winning, because you can be 0-for-20. But what about if you get the the big hit. So that's what playoff is about. I don't care. I went 0-for-5 last night, but you know, I didn't care. I show up today, try to get good pitches to hit, and you know, I'm glad that I helped my team to win tonight.
And that's this team. I believe him. You know, I know. Listen, Maldonado coming up with that hit.
Oh my gosh!
He
I tweeted bunt, Dusty, and literally the next pitch is a hit, and I just retweeted my tweet and just said, "Delete your tweet."
This didn't age well. Like yeah. For 2 seconds,
that
didn't
like,
age well.
Like at old takes exposed. Yeah, the whole thing. You want to talk about not aging well? I put bunt, Dusty, crack, base hit, run, score. Series running. They're throwing it all over the diamond. No one knows where to go. Everyone's scoring. I'm like, oh, should I just delete what I just said about the bunt or lean into it? It's so funny. I'm yelling for a bunt and 3-run score.
Maldonado had been, he, you know what? He wants to hit so bad and he wants to be part of the offense, and it's been weighing on him. So it feels so good that guy got that hit because they love him. They love Maldonado. And he is just, and you know, and so, but yeah, you could certainly see where he'd be like, damn, I'm not doing anything. And yet, Pastrami says he's the MVP. Dusty keeps running him out there. He's caught more games than any catcher since 2019, and it's not even close how many games he's caught, including all of them, with the postseason included. And they just keep running them out there. And you know what? For him to come up with a hit like that, I would imagine those guys were just couldn't feel better. Dusty talks about, Tyler, the next one after that one, number 5. Dusty talks about this team and how close and what a good team this is compared to other teams that he's managed.
The difference between this group and some other groups that I've had is the fact that they always looking for something good to happen. And Washington, we had a very talented group, but, you know, they had lost in the first round before I got there 2 or 3 times. And so, therefore, you know, you start looking for, you know, for things to happen. Well, this group looks for good things to happen and expects good.
That is true. And you know, that you see that in 2-out hitting. Oh, we got 2 outs. We can't get this. Yeah, no. Well, we'll get it done. Don't worry. We'll get that done. Correa doesn't have a hit in 3 games. Boom, hit. Maldonado's 1-for-80. Boom, hit. Altuve looks like crap at the plate. Boom, home run. It's just guy after guy after guy. That just every single one of them. Now, there's some guys that have been more consistent. Brantley looked like crap. And now all of a sudden, Uncle Mike, you can't get him out. Tucker is just unbelievable. Now, Jose Altuve earlier, the one number – I forget which one it is. Oh, the last one, the next one, Tyler, number 3, I guess. Jose Altuve explained he thinks Siri won the game for them last night. To your point, Lance, you know, him running around the bases. That hit was, you know, it didn't even get to second base, and he beat it out. But the way that he ran around the bases, and Jose Altuve says that Siri won the game for him last night.
I think I told Siri that his broken bat single, the way he ran to first and then the first to third and scoring was probably what it gave us the win tonight. You know, he's like, he just, like I said, plays hard every day. He brings energy to our team. And, you know, I'm just happy he had a good game and helped us to win.
Yeah. And then again, he was overmatched. But I don't think the guys, you know, we talked about Carlos, you know, he didn't mind Eduardo Rodriguez, you know, pointing at his watch. Baseball needs more Jose series. They need more stuff like that. Carlos even said it. He said, I love that. Go ahead, Eduardo Rodriguez. I love that. We need that in baseball. Make it more fun.
Well, we need, you know, guys are making solid contact on the ball too.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah, too. But Siri busted his butt down the line. I mean, this guy has got so much energy. When he's not playing, he is the number one energy guy off the bench. Even when he's not playing and getting down the line and beating that out, look what happens. Look at the big plays. Look at the big inning that happens when you make a hustle play like that. It's just, you know, it's fun to watch him have fun playing the game. No, he's not hitting the ball hard, but the guy's finding ways to make some impactful plays, And that's, you know, that's all you can ask for. Now, he needs to be a plus defender out there. If you're not going to hit the ball, you need to be a plus defender. But when the ball's in play, that guy's hard. That guy's going to be hard to – he's not going to give you an easy out on the throw. I mean, he's going to be busting it down the line. And if it's bang-bang at all, he's got a great chance of getting on. And he's got a great chance of taking extra bases or getting stolen bases. So it's – if Jake Meyers were there, this would be his job right now. But he's not. So, you know, good for Siri. They had – Jose Altuve took his rings. Have you seen that video where he took a series rings? I don't know that it plays necessarily as an audio cut. We might have it, but I think Mark Berman was asking a question. But Siri, but Altuve took Siri. He had a couple different rings, and they said, what were you doing there, Jose? Altuve, not Siri. He goes, I just wanted to, you know, have a little more flash or something to that extent.
No, Siri put them on Altuve. So that way he would have more. Oh, okay. Like, more.
And then Siri's got the 100 tattoo on his bicep. He's got the 100. It's a little bit the pumpkin spice latte of tattoos. I get that. It's just a young guy who's like, oh, 100. Like, yeah, it's been done for a while, Siri. You sure you want this 100 tattoo? Oh, yeah. 100.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And you know what? Give me that 100 chain. Okay. We'll give you the 100 chain. But somebody else mentioned the same thing I was thinking, man. I was like, dude, this guy has some Lima vibes to him, which is,
oh, yeah.
If you knew Lima, had a chance to watch it, you'd know what we're talking about.
Hey, Siri, cool. How about some barbed wire? You want to do that?
He stayed away from the barbed wire, luckily.
Anyway, all right. So, 713-780-3776. We know you got some thoughts on this. Let's go. 713-780-3776. Let's talk a little Cars for Kids, Lance.
CarsForKids.org, company who's working with Houston Can Academy. And what Houston Can Academy does is give young people a second chance and an education. Maybe some young people who struggle with traditional learning or, you know, learning in certain environments or whatever the case. There's a lot of people who have issues, but Houston Can Academy says, we want to focus on the can. Let's get it done. And so Cars for Kids, they have partnered with them here in Houston. They say, yeah, this is absolutely a worthwhile charity that we want to help with. And the way that you can help, you can make a donation if you want, certainly. But carsforkids.org says, here's what you can do. If you have a car, a truck, or a motorcycle that you want taken off your property, we'll come do it for you. You don't have to pay to have it done, whether it's running or not running. And a lot of times the vehicles aren't running. They'll come out there. They'll take the vehicle off the lot for you. They'll give you a $50 Visa gift card. When you mentioned you heard about it from ESPN 97.5, they give you a tax write-off. And you are going to make money on hauling your vehicle off absolutely free. And you do nothing but make the phone call. Go to carsforkids.org, carsforkids.org. And remember, you can write off the car and not the kid.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
All right, so at 6 o'clock on Saturday, it's the biggest game that they've had at TDECU Stadium since probably Lamar Jackson came here, and that's a while ago. UH versus SMU. Cougs are 6-1, SMU 7-0, both teams undefeated in conference. This is probably to see who's going to play Cincinnati. They got a special Cougar four-pack deal, 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 small sodas, 4 chips for only $60. Listen, people, you can't take your family to games anymore. It's impossible. This is an affordable way for you to get your kids out to see a great – this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be great. So if you're looking for a great time, you want your kids, you want to take the kids, and you just can't do it, this is something you can do it for. Tickets start at just $20. They're going to have a flash sale today. Today they're going to have a flash sale at 10 o'clock, $10 tickets. So it can't get more affordable. This can't get any bigger for the Cougs in the regular season. When your 2 undefeated teams are going at it, this is the game of the week in the AAC. Let's go. Get on out there. UHCougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS, 713-GO-COUGS.
Friday night at 7, your Houston Astros battle the Atlanta Braves in Game 3 of the World Series. Catch all the action right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, back to the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. We got some guys waiting that want to get in here. I'd like to be around them. Let's get Lorenzo in here first. Lorenzo, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. I'd like to be around you guys, too. So I'm going to get on my soapbox here for Dusty, but before I do, I want to point out that I'm standing in the crowd that I'm talking to as well. This man has been in the kitchen for decades. He's been cooking up and doing his thing for absolute decades. And to the people that are saying, so my whole point, I'm just get right to it. My whole point is that we got to get out the kitchen. We got to stop looking over the chef's shoulders and saying, whoa, that's a little bit of pepper there, Dusty. That's a little bit too much salt there, Dusty. I mean, he's been cooking his whole life. And I don't think anybody could have taken this chicken cutlet of a situation that he came into and turned it into a porterhouse. Now, the meal is not done yet, but who else would have taken this situation and made the meal that he made out of it? So before I hang up, my question to you guys is this, if you are in that opinion, my question to you guys is this, and y'all might be able to answer because you're sports guys, but I guarantee you 90% of the people that are standing over the chef's shoulders don't know the name of a single recommendation of a chef that they would have instead. So let's get out. Let's go sit down. Wait on your steak. Have your glass of wine. Enjoy the ambiance. And I just that's just my statement, man. Let Dusty cook. And if not, can you name me anybody that you would have in place of him in the kitchen? I'll hang up and let you guys.
I'm just telling you right now. There is zero things that I like better than calling back not only chef references, but finding a good reference like that to work off of.
I will disagree with him on this.
But can you acknowledge his ability to work in the salt, the pepper, cooking
great.
In the
yeah,
I mean
yeah.
the analogy,
we gotta get out of the kitchen, yeah.
Was
yeah.
elite. An yes. elite analogy. The porterhouse, no, you're not hungry? When he's dropping porterhouses on you?
Well, I would say this. He started with Wagyu, though. I mean, this team, let's not forget. Oh, A.J. Hinch was the best when he was, what a perfect manager for this team. Let's face it. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken crap.
Bo Porter had the spam. Okay.
No, right, right.
But I think
right.
he said it's a chicken cutlet situation, though.
Well, right, but listen, Dusty has been perfect. I agree wholeheartedly, and I don't think these guys would want anybody. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to cry when Dusty wins this thing, because Dusty has been doing this for so long. He has, you know, he's gotten so close. He's had so many, you know, and so many disappointments. To see Paw with that, if he gets this ring, and how these guys love that guy. They love Dusty. So if he is able to get that ring at 72 years old, and when he's been fighting his whole life for this, his whole managerial life. When I was in Chicago, I did this, and there was this guy, there was these guys at 6 in the morning having a meeting. I guess they did the show at 8 or 10 or whatever they were doing. But we were talking about it, and the one guy says, I hate Dusty, because when he was with the Cubs, you know, all of the decisions that this guy's talking about, everybody standing over his shoulder and talking about, you know, you should have done this, you should have done that, you make this move, you didn't make this move. We nitpick so bad with managers. He can't stand Dusty. I'm like, how can you not stand Dusty Baker? How is that possible? He is such what you would think would be, he's such a player's guy, such a great guy. And so a lifer in the game.
Well, but
we
also have ALCS Dusty and World Series Dusty. Those are 2 years, a year and a half, basically a year and a half of Dusty Baker. I could get it if you have a manager for a long time, something like that. And maybe he was really surly with media and fans or whatever. I don't know. But look, Lorenzo's right. But he's right and wrong. This is the world. As a coach's son, I always am sensitive to, and really my brother too, who's a coach, I'm sensitive to the fact that a lot of people like to comment on things they don't know about at all.
Right.
And they're really not capable. And so even when you and I are commenting on it, we don't have the information Dusty has. We don't have the understanding of all the analytics that they're using. Of course, we're not the chefs that would do better. However, Lorenzo's point is very well taken, and I think he's right, frankly. However, with that said, John, that's the nature of sports. Like, this isn't brand new that you second-guess a manager, you second-guess a play caller, you second-guess an NBA head coach for his rotation during the playoffs. That's what we do. That's just life, unfortunately. His point's accurate, but that's never going away. But maybe he's saying, maybe we just let Dusty roll for a little bit and not hyper-analyze Dusty. I get that.
Well, and the other point, too, of the only thing that I would question about it, what Lorenzo said was, again, you can't win without players. He had
Wagyu.
He's got Kobe beef, okay, that he's starting with. Well you're right.
He's got Kobe beef lineup. He didn't have a Wagyu pitching rotation.
No. The Wagyu did not have foot and mouth disease when he got in the kitchen. What are you talking? Well, it was
no, it but was it was damaged. Frozen, and he it couldn't was, cook it right away.
No, you're
look
right.
Look at them; they were frozen. It had to thaw out in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, he had some damaged meat. Let's put it that way. He might have got it out of a trunk because
there's freezer burn on this Wagyu.
Right. So, listen, he did have to manage through a bunch of crap. The crap that these guys take on the road and what they've been through and how hated they are. There were some damaged goods there. There's no question about that.
Hey, all right, when we come back, John, I've got to
What about the next caller? Don't we have another caller?
Yeah, we have let's get to Troy.
Let's get Troy in here.
This in mind. When we come back here at about 7:45, we're going to get to Troy about 7:46. Rob Manfred is in town, obviously. And the fans got into it with him. They let him hear it during an interview. So we'll have that for you coming up here at about 7:47. Let's get Troy for right now. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Let me start first by saying, damn, Lorenzo, you got me starving to death this morning.
I know.
Anyway, so at what point you guys talked about everybody up and down the lineup, how great they were last night. At what point does Dusty do something with the guy hitting in the three hole?
He's not. He's not going to do anything about the guy hitting in the three hole. He's going to – did you hear Dusty's soundbite? He said, these guys always think something good is going to happen. Do you know what Dusty thinks? He thinks Alex Bregman, just like Altuve last night after looking like crap the day before, he thinks Alex Bregman is going to come up and he's going to be – awesome, and come up with a huge hit and win a game for this baseball team. That's what Dusty thinks. And you know what? I know what. Here's the problem with what's going on there is Correa's not hitting well either. By the way, his single, if they don't have the shift on, probably would have been a double play ball. But you know what? It was a hit because they shift. Okay. You got righty Altuve, lefty Brantley, righty Bregman, lefty Alvarez, righty Correa, lefty Tucker, righty Gurriel. This lineup is set up perfectly in that way. Maybe you should switch Gurriel and Bregman, maybe, but he's not doing that. He's not doing that to Bregman. He doesn't want to hurt his confidence, and I don't think there's any way he moves Bregman out of that three hole because he believes that Bregman is going to come up with a huge hit.
But and he might be right, and maybe this is us, sitting in the kitchen with Dusty, but I mean, he should. He's tinkered with lineup. He hasn't been afraid to move guys up and down. Hasn't been a big issue. I don't think it's the end of the world if he had Bregman at the seventh hole and he had Yuli 5 and Carlos 3 or Yuli 3 and Carlos 5.
Carlos hadn't been hitting either.
I mean, yeah, but just not long ago, he's looking at his watch and all that stuff. This is more of a longer term thing with Bregman. You know, Bregman is just not the same. His OPS is way down. His slugging's way down this year. Just, I don't know. There's something else where Breggy is just not the same. Breggy, you know it. We all know it. He just hasn't been the same. I don't think he should just stand in third because Papa doesn't want his, you know, his confidence to go away. I don't think he has a lot of confidence right now, if you really want to know the truth.
But Bregman's not doing anything.
But you're right. 100%, I'll put everything on this. I'll put my house on this. Dusty's not taking him out of there.
He ain't taking him out of there. So, Bregman has gone from, man, there's a cornerstone to, why don't we trade Bregman and keep Correa? That's what he's gone to right now.
Well, the price tag goes up to $30 million next year on Bregman. There's about to be a huge jump in salary. And that brings up a separate conversation that we need to have here in a second. Let's break it here. When we come back, Rob Manfred was heckled by some Astros fans. We'll have the audio for you coming up. And we'll also talk about the structure of the contract for Bregman, because it is going to have some people talking next year, especially if Carlos is gone. I want to tell you about this big sale going on. There's a Halloween extravaganza going on this Saturday over at Texas Star Grill Shop in West U. Every weekend they have good food and great grills, amazing deals. You can go on the weekend and take advantage of it. Plus, they're always having different fun, right? They're going to have different types of fun whenever they can. They just had a big barbecue cook-off. Well, now with Halloween around the corner, you already know they're going to do something big. So make sure you visit them this Saturday at their West U location for their Halloween extravaganza. There's going to be a lot of food, a lot of fun, crazy costumes, and great deals going on that you can only find if you go into the store. Come dressed in your Halloween best and see what deals they have in store for you. There's no tricks. There's only treats for my people at Texas Star Grill Shop. 4 locations around the city of Houston, and see why they are your obvious choice for grilling. I used my grill just last night for steaks. We did steaks last night. And out on the patio, making sure that I was using my Memphis because it is the best way for me to cook. But they're going to help you find the best grill for you as well. Don't forget, it's this Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. at the West University location off the Southwest Freeway. It's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. In 2017, everyone wanted Springer out of the – I don't think they wanted him out of the lineup. I think they wanted him out of the leadoff. I in particular, wanted Springer out of the leadoff. But Bregman will be just fine, says Rob. Yeah, listen, Bregman will come up with a big hit before this is all.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
He's Bregman. Going to.
And by the way, he got the run home last night in the first inning. That was huge. It was huge with the sacrifice fly. I mean, getting off to that start was huge. So Rob Manfred was in Houston, huh? I bet everybody loves Rob Manfred.
Yeah, no, Rob is – and people in Houston are big fans. And Rob Manfred, let me just say this. I have friends who were at the World Series, and they said it was incredible having open roof stadium. The weather yesterday was absolutely perfect. Once that storm came in and blew away the humidity, I mean, an absolutely perfect night. You could see, it was still fairly loud in the stadium. I don't think the Astros – look, I don't think Astros fans are like – I don't think they're as loud as the Red Sox fans were or the White Sox fans. I think we are more situational cheerers. Unfortunately, it's – you know, I fall into that category too, so I'm not calling out other people. I'll call myself out on that. But the roof being open on last night was really incredible. Open roof when the weather's good in any sport is better than closed roof. It's just that we don't have great weather. And so – It's a little more rare for us to be able to open up the roof, especially in baseball. But last night was perfect. But Manfred still made them. Major League Baseball made the Astros do it, and it kind of ticks off Astros fans. But what really ticks them off is that the Yankees letter that Rob Manfred said was going to be unsealed hasn't been unsealed, and the Astros continue to be the scapegoat for the cheating scandal, even though we all know they did it and all that stuff. No one's denying they didn't do it. But Manfred of Major League Baseball has left the Astros out they're hung out to dry so that they can be the face of the cheating scandal and they don't have to involve any of the headline teams out there. Well, he was being interviewed before the game here at the, you know, a scrum of local and national reporters. And you can hear the interview. That's what you're going to hear. But, John, I want you to listen in the background to the guy yelling, "Open the letter! Yeah. You scapegoat the Astros, Rob!" Here, play the sound here and listen in the background.
The roof's going to be closed tonight, and based on the weather forecast, it'll be open tomorrow. Commissioner, what do you think about Justin Baker getting an opportunity here to check maybe one final box, having not won a World Series as a manager?
I think it's a great storyline. You know, Dusty's been kind of a fixture in our game for years and years, and I wish him the very best of luck in the World Series.
Rob is.
Did you hear it? Open the letter! Who's going to go to us, Rob? It's the best. Whoever those guys are, I'll buy them a shot.
Yep. Buy them a shot.
I'm not buying you. I'm not buying you a whole dinner or even appetizer. I will get you a shot, though.
No, a shot.
If you're if you're those two guys.
Old granddad.
Absolutely. You get an OGD shot. If you're those, we're going to force you into it. If you're one of those two guys, let me and John know, and we'll make sure that we get you an OGD shot, and we'll take it with you.
Yeah. Yep.
Old granddad. It doesn't go down smooth all the time if you have a bad batch.
713-780-3776. Listen, we haven't touched on this yet. So the Texans.
You're being fair with us, Rob, and we appreciate it. I'd like to see somebody yell that.
Yeah.
I think you're doing a great job, and you really had a very difficult situation to deal with, and you handled it as best you could. Screamed no one ever in the background.
No one. No, none. All the other teams are yelling at him. You didn't suspend any.
Who loves
the
their commissioner? Like, what fan base loves the commissioner? Nobody, now, no one really said that much about David Stern because there was always the fear that you say something to David Stern, something could happen.
So yesterday, the Texans, in all their wisdom, decided to trade. They traded Mark Ingram, to the Saints.
Care factor. Okay? Care factor for you, John. 1 to 10.
Zero.
Okay, that's not good.
But somebody was butthurt about it.
Somebody got really upset.
Really upset. Somebody named Brandon Cooks. I mean, talk about he went. Listen, there is no question. By next Tuesday, which is the trade deadline, Brandon Cooks will not be a Houston Texan. I think there is. What are the odds that he's a Houston Texan? I think it's less than 5% that he's a Houston Texan come Tuesday.
I would think somebody's interested in him. As long as he stays healthy, you got to move him.
Yeah.
I don't care if you get a fifth rounder for him. Like, just move him and give him a chance to get out of prison. Give him an early commuter sentence.
So
don't make
Brandon Cooks
finish his sentence here in Houston.
At Brandon Cooks tweeted this. This is bullshit. Only he said, this is bullshit. Only he didn't say bullshit. He said the other word.
Uh-huh.
Such a joke. It sounds like somebody's not on board
with the
way things are going.
I didn't know that Ingram had been traded at that point, so I just figured it was just something random. You know what my thought was? Something happened over there again. Something dumb's happening in the building. Another player's pissed. Now, John, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Do you have his Twitter account pulled up?
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to read the sandwich. Read the pinned tweet, which is from 2016, and read the tweet that immediately preceded "This is bullshit, such a joke." Can you read those two? It's a positivity cookie with a negative cream filling.
Greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials.
Yes.
Very next tweet. This is bullshit. Such a joke.
And then his pin tweet from 2016.
I don't see that.
Believe.
Believe. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Believe. So you got believe 2.9K likes. You've got greatly rejoice, though now is a little while you may
132 likes.
Grief. That's got 132 likes. And then you got this is bullshit. Such a joke. 17,600 likes.
Yeah. So,
oh my God. I mean, literally, go try to find a Houston Texans Twitter account, their official social media account. See if you can find anything with 17,600 likes.
Oh,
but Brandon Cooks can just by calling something bullshit.
17,000 replies of how bullshit this is. Michael Schwab sent him Jack Easterby talking on stage. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Don't send that, man. That he has to deal with that. Jack's the reason he's there. Jack got him into prison. Jack's like, come on into the Texans. This is going to be great. Of course, I better be careful with prison analogies. But come on in. Come on in. You're going to be great. We're going to believe and we're going to fight through this together and we're going to rejoice. And then he's like, this sucks here. I thought, oh, my God, Bill O'Brien's a lunatic. What did you get me into? Oh, this roster's terrible. We're trading it. Everyone's gone. Like, yeah, but we're going to rejoice together and fight through this. If you can believe upon his belief of all things greatly achieved, like, stop reading me tweets, Jack. Stop. Stop telling me, you know, stop giving me sayings and stop giving me motivational speech. I don't want to hear it. This is bullshit. Such a joke. Yeah, well, you should tweet it, and then I'll retweet you and then do hashtag Lord is with you or something. Nah, you don't need to, Jack. You've already done enough getting me into this terrible situation.
So the replies are awesome. There's a little girl pounding on the window crying. She, you know, Brandon be like, take me with you, please. Honestly, that tweet got him out of town because aren't they building a call? This is the guy, Brandon Cook's the guy, that called everybody out and said they don't work hard enough, that nobody's around here is working hard enough. And now he's turned on the whole organization, calling it a joke. I mean, this can't be better.
But David Kelly wanted Mark Ingram, right? He wanted Mark Ingram because he said, Mark Ingram is an extension of me. I love him. He's a great leader, all that stuff. David Kelly said that. And
well,
now
what about that sound from the game where he goes over to him on from the Jacksonville game? We need you. You're our guy. We love you. You're the guy. You're the voice. You are so important to us here. Trade him.
But let's just be real about it, John. It's if you can get something for him, that's fine. Give him a chance to go win. The run game's not working anyway. It doesn't really matter. You have two other running backs. So that's fine. Let him go. Let Brandon Cooks go. So, I don't care. Yeah. Make it worse. Make it easier to lose. That's fine. I don't care.
So, Austin makes a point. You figure Green Bay would be kicking down the door for him right now. Yeah, there are teams that could use him.
For Cooks?
Yeah. But how about getting out of this hell and going to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and not Davis Mills?
No, you would have to think. I mean, boy, if the Astros could get like a third for Brandon Cooks, that would be incredible. You should 100% do it. And you're right, John. They should move Brandon Cooks. There's some value there. Load up on your draft picks.
Load them up. Instead of giving them away for backup quarterbacks that don't even make the team. Goodness gracious. What a bungling organization. It's the most – I can't – talking about the Astros and then talking about the Texans, it makes me want to puke. It really does. They're just so disgusting. You know what's not just, you know what never makes me want to puke? Coors Light, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. You know, it's the world's most refreshing beer. It's actually if I did puke, I would want a Coors Light right after it so that I would be refreshed. Look, if you're looking for just what I think is the world's best beer, it's perfect. It's perfect for me. If you haven't tried it or, you know, if you're out in a bat and you're, hey, give me a Coors Light. I want to be refreshed. I want cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. When you're watching your game, it's the official beer of watching the game. It's the official beer of playing poker today. It's the official beer of everything that I do. Make it the official beer of everything that you do. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. If you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, please make it a Coors Light.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.